You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
It's Monday, so it's time for Shapiro World with David Shapiro from SASFIN, normally at Melrose Arch, now in the Big Apple, New York. And this is a Shapiro World special, the second in a series of New York interviews. And this podcast is proudly brought to you in association with sharenet.co.za. David, how's New York? I love stories of New York because I have to say, although I love London, I must say that New York is neck and neck as my favourite city in the world, my favourite major city in the world, because it is so, so exciting.
And how it is, and especially at this time of the year. I must admit, I've been coming here for the last, I don't know, 10, 15 years, but I've never been here in July. Mm. And people come out all the time. We're across the road from Lincoln Center. Yes. And to give an example, every night there's a different theme that they have here. They have an open area where they have bands playing from disco to salsa. And people just rock up there. They just come there with their families. I think the sale of alcohol is very limited to certain areas. But there are security guards. But everything seems so peaceful. You want to dance, you dance. And it just highlights exactly what New York is. This just... people come out, very limited crime. If there is crime, it must be in certain areas, you know, maybe in some of the poorer areas in the outlying boroughs, but you don't see anything around you. You know, people just get on with their lives.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but when you go there, do you feel a weight being lifted from your shoulders when you go there from South Africa and you say to yourself, I can walk along the street now and I don't have to keep on looking behind me? When I get on a bus, firstly, there is public transport. I mean, okay, the metro, New York subway is not the greatest in the world, but I mean, at least there is a subway there. Do you find yourself saying to yourself, well, do you know what? I actually feel relieved because I don't worry about the threat of someone invading my personal space and actually seeking to do harm to me.
That's exactly right. You know, whether you're sitting in, if you go into Central Park, I mean, it's a huge area. I've run around it. It's 10 kilometers from one point to another if you run around it. Mm. And within there, there are gardens and there are different paths and forests and everything. And number one, it's spotless. There's absolutely spotless. No one drops anything. Yes, you get tourists, and especially this time of the year, you might get tourists leaving a little bit of rubbish, but it's quickly cleaned up. And it's also quiet. It's a quiet zone. You know, no one blares out any music. If you do, you'll be stopped right away. And people just adhere to the rules. Because there's so many cyclists, you can only go in one direction. There are people running all the time. Mm. So you do, and people with their dogs. And not only that, the dogs are well-behaved. Because if they're not dog-behaved, they put down. So people take their dogs for training. So you get that feeling of almost Pleasantville around here. And this is New York, where there are millions of people. You know, I love the subway. I love the subway because, yes, it's old. It's been around a long time. But still, it gets you to where you want to in short time. I prefer it to the taxis and buses, which are clogged up with New York traffic. The other thing, Lindsay, coming from Joburg, work out the size of Manhattan. Work out the grid. I have never yet experienced a traffic light out of order or out of sync. You know, coming from Joburg, where everybody just has their own rules, I think it's something that strikes you. Well, why do they do it? You know, why can they do it with such a huge metropolis? When you look at the buildings here, I mean, these buildings reach for the sky. They're buildings close to us, new skyscrapers of 100 stories each. Can you imagine how many people live in there? And yet, nothing goes wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, the city just absorbs all these people.
But 40 years ago, actually, no, 50 years ago, David, nearly 50 years ago, New York, certain areas of New York, even Manhattan, were no-go zones. And it was probably one of the most crime-ridden cities in the world. But it was cleaned up. And maybe there's a lesson there for South Africa. Maybe we can clean up Johannesburg. Maybe we can clean up certain areas of Cape Town, Durban, all those other metropolitan areas in South Africa. Because New York, as I say, was a horrible place to be and people wouldn't go there. But now, as you said, you feel safe.
You wouldn't go near Times Square because of the sex shops and because of the prostitutes. Today, it's like Disneyland. Mm. You know, it's very colorful and it's an attraction area. They've closed off the roads so people can wander freely. I run through Harlem. Remember, you wouldn't go close to Harlem, which was in the hundreds, and those areas. Today, I run freely through. You don't feel any threat. In fact, they're gentrifying that whole area. You know, it's becoming valuable property. They're rebuilding places, renovating them. So, in fact, the whole of New York. I went down to Hudson. We went down to Hudson Yard, which is in Chelsea area, which is in the 30s and that. And it's been quite a few years in the making, but it's staggering. The new buildings that are going up there, the shopping areas and that, quite incredible. And once again, easy to access, very peaceful. You know, there's the High Line. Do you remember in the old movies, you would have the trains running on stilts, you know, on a track above the road.
Right.
Well, what they've done, you can't get that in New York anymore. I think maybe in Brooklyn there might be something. But
they've greened it up, haven't they? I remember going
It's called the High Line.
Mm.
It's a High Line. And there are thousands, literally, you know, hundreds of thousands of tourists there at the moment who walk the High Line at the moment from the Chelsea Market to Hudson, you know, to Hudson Yard. So it's now become a new attractor in a very, very attractive area. So, and Lindsay, I must also point out something that's not really appreciated is Broadway. And Broadway is, I don't know how many theaters there are here, but always packed, every night packed. We went on Thursday night. Saturday. Yeah, we went on Saturday evening to a show called Hadestown. I can't remember. And Hadestown won 8 Tonys, which is the equivalent of 8 Oscars or 8 Grammys.
Right.
And an incredible production. But it was packed once more. Packed. The tickets, I think all that the tickets do is highlight how poor we are, not how rich Americans are, because for most Americans, they're expensive but affordable. But you know, your tickets for good shows can go anywhere from $150 a ticket to $600 a ticket, depending on the show. And you don't want to work that in round. But what I have to tell you, Lindsay, is so we're sitting in the theater. We're a little earlier. I'm with my daughters in-laws. We call them in Yiddish, it's called your machatonim. You know, in other words, our children are married. So I'm sitting with Neville, and it's a Yiddish word which has got no English equivalent. So we're sitting there, and I go to the back of the theater, and I order. It's very warm and balmy. So I order two. I was going to order two kind of waters or soda waters. So I said, I just put a shot of vodka in. So two vodkas full of ice and two packets of M&Ms. So I take out a $20 bill, okay, which is, you know, 280 rand. Jim says to me, that'll be $48.
$48 for two vodkas?
Each vodka, mainly filled with ice, a small shot of vodka with soda.
700 rand.
700 rand. So you just grin. At the end, I left a $2 tip, so it's $50.
I'm sure she turned her nose up at that. remember. No, David, I can remember going to – I did a documentary for CNBC Africa in New York. I think I mentioned this last week on our first Shapiro World Special. And I went – my cameraman was a Jewish fellow from the Upper West Side. I took him out to lunch because he was absolutely brilliant, and he guided me through my time when I was in New York. And we went for lunch in Greenwich Village. No, actually in the Tribeca region. And I left a 10, 12% tip.
Yeah.
And he said, what are you doing? You can't do that. It's a minimum 20, 25%. These people are working hard, and they rely on this. And when you go in a taxi as well, you have that thing on the taxi. Do you want to pay them? I think it starts at 15 and then it goes 20, 30, 40%. The tipping culture is alive and well and living in New York.
The bottom end 15, acceptable 20%.
Yeah.
That's your norm.
That's 20%. That's your minimum,
20% tip.
So $100 meal is going to be $120. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
In fact, if it's a party of 6, they automatically put on 20%. So if you 6 sit down, you have got no choice. They just add a 20% gratuity to the bill.
So, you're making me want to go to New York, David. Let's talk about the markets.
You know what's interesting?
No, go on.
Very
go on then.
Briefly, I was reading in Bloomberg's an article about for expats, meaning, you know, people like myself who come into a city, which are the cheapest. or the most expensive. Apologies. New York comes in at number 9. So it's low. It's relatively low down compared with maybe European cities and Tokyo and some of the Asian cities where things are a lot more expensive than that. But that gives you an idea. So, and I always say, I think we are the people. We are actually pretty poor. That's it.
I have now got this wanderlust, and a peripatetic streak in me has been peaked by you, rather. David, let's talk about the markets, because it's July the 1st. It's the first half, the second half of 2019 has just kicked off. We've just had the month, the quarter, and the half year completed. And when we look at South Africa, how would you describe the first 6 months of this year?
Well, I think it was pretty difficult. We were saved by the mining shares. And I think, number one, the gold shares, gold stood out. Platinum was also a very, very strong performer. And I think this is buying overseas. I'm still having difficulty reconciling it. But I think the big movers in the first half of the year were all the platinum. And then we had iron ore surprising everybody. And Lindsay continuing to surprise everyone. I don't know the background to it, because I think analysts themselves are still very cautious. But you've got a platinum, you've got an iron ore price of close to $110 a ton,
yes,
which is high. And of course, that's helping the Kumbas and the Astors, as well as those BHPs and Anglo American, you know, who have big exposure there. So I think that would have been the first half of the year on the SA market was entirely resources, and surprisingly, and the big surprise was gold shares. Nobody expected the kind of move that we saw in gold shares, and everyone's been cautious. Gold price will probably start coming down now with with Trump. Yeah, you know, as people start to feel a little more happy about where the world is. With Trump, you know, you never know from one day to the next. But I think I wouldn't say go short of gold, but I think maybe the run that we've seen, could start to lose a lot more momentum.
Well,
that would be it. I think outside of that, I can't find, it's going to be, the SA economy let us down quite a lot, not growing, shrinking. And I don't think we're going to come out of that in any big way. So I think from going down to local stocks, probably dragged up by number one, or by global markets, which have been performing pretty well.
Talking about that, Assor today, as we pre-record this interview, up 7%. Kumba Iron Ore up 4.1%. On the downside, because of the gold price going from what was 1430 a few days ago down to 1385 today, currently 1392. But anyway, Anglo Gold Ashanti down 7.4%, Sibanye down 5.7%, Goldfields down 5.1%, Harmony down 4 2/3 percent. So what are you doing? Having seen the movements that you've just described in the first 6 months, does that shape the way you look at the next 6 months, or is it just still the same thing? Balance sheets, dividends, and international exposure?
I'm still 100% offshore. Mm. You know, I still feel that there are better opportunities. Having been on the market for a long time and not shy or not scared of resources, it's a pretty volatile market to get engaged in. It's commodities can go all over the place, as we've seen with the oil price, as we've seen with the underlying metal prices. Very difficult to forecast and predict. So you've got to trade your resources. You know, they're not long term buyers. I think what does highlight the SA economy, and I think is much closer to home, would be the letdown from a number of businesses that we've seen, where I think Tongaat has virtually collapsed. We've seen another company like Omnia. These are characterized as well, the market, Massmart, EOH, Brait, a lot of local businesses, Netcare and that, which have come unstuck, Aspen. Also, rather more management rather than economics, where management have got it completely wrong. And then you've got our retailers that despite the market going up, we've seen the Mr. Prices and City Lodges and Truworths and other companies like that actually recording quite significant negative negative returns. So you've got this market split in half, of the resources on one side and then SA Inc. on the other side. So I need to do the numbers still. I need to actually go through them in greater detail. But I think the fact that the market was up, I still think there were a lot more losers than there were winners in the half a year.
How has the New York press treated Mr. Trump's latest, probably quite successful last 48 hours? His spontaneity was actually quite well received, and I'd have to take my hat off to him. He just sent out a tweet and said, meet me on the DMZ, President Kim, and the bloke turned up. You've got to take your hat off to him for that. But whether it was just a photo op or something more meaningful, I think a little bit of both, so well done to him.
He still has very limited support in New York. They're the old Republicans who back him, who believe he's doing the right thing. But if you ever want to enter a fight in New York, just mention his name one way or another. So I think also what was the highlight of the last week were the first Democratic contenders debates. You know, there are two sets of 10, and I think the whole issue is they've got to find someone who's going to beat Trump. So it's not a matter of policies. It's not a matter of going at each other. I think Democratic voters are going to say, you know, who do we vote for? Which one of these gentlemen or women are going to beat Trump in that? And I'm not sure anybody has really come out on top. You don't want Elizabeth Warren. I mean,
I thought Harris did very, very well. That was an opportunistic and quite well scripted answer that she gave to a couple
Biden.
Of questions.
I don't like. I think he's too old for the role.
Far too old.
And I think carries too much of a burden. So I'm not sure who's going to come out. And I think the odds are still tilting towards, Trump walking, the election next year. So, but listen, markets are up. Markets are for new highs on the strength of an easing of the trade tensions and also the meeting of Kim. So I think from that point of view, we're celebrating. I'm just looking at the, some of the gains now, particularly in the tech sector. So, and it has a big impression or a big bearing if markets go up and people have that well-being. And I think he's playing that. You know, this is what he's going to play.
So what you're saying is, David, that we're talking about Trump and New York, which is not America, but it is very much a thriving economy. You would say that you wouldn't have gone on the Pride March this weekend with an I Love Trump t-shirt.
Not at all. No, I'm not going to go down well. In fact, I haven't seen anybody wearing that. I even the out-of-towners here, I haven't seen a Make America Great t-shirt or anything like that. There's nothing there. And this is his hometown, remember. In fact, one woman that I met and was just chatting to, and that she was testing us out and asked us what we thought about Trump. And her husband works at an investment bank, quite a well-known person. She said, you know, we've had 40 years of him. He's odious. You know, that's exactly how she said.
Such a great word.
Yeah, he said, and she says, you know, we've had to tolerate 40 years of Trump in this city. And that's exactly how she explained him to me. So she said, but, you know, there are a lot of her friends who feel otherwise. She said, but we just don't bring it up in discussion.
Really? He's that toxic? He's that odious that you can't even mention him at a dinner party or a cocktail party or in the park when you're playing frisbee or walking your dog? You cannot say that name.
No. Oh, I think most of the park goers are anti-Trump.
Okay. Anyway, let's talk about England making America's football team rotten again, not making it great again, because tomorrow night at 9 o'clock South African time, there is a football match, semi-final of the World Cup between the United States and England. United States are the holders and the best team in the world. England have been to three semi-finals in the last few years, won European Championships, two World Cups, and it's actually going to be fascinating. And I really urge you to go to a pub and sit down and watch it.
I've actually been watching, funny enough, in pubs. There's another political issue with the American captain, this Rapinoe. And
she's great.
You know, she's great. She is a great goal scorer. And, you know, she's already stated, I think, in a tweet that she will not go to the White House having been invited.
And she used the F word when making that point, which I loved as well.
But when Congress invited her, what's her name? Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez, I get their names all mixed up, but she'll go to Congress.
Yeah.
And she says she'll take the team there as well. But that gives you an idea of the split and the emotions, you know, that here you are, you're invited by the President of the United States to come and visit the White House. She said, not in my time. So it gives you an idea of the emotions that are felt towards Trump and the values that he supports.
David, I envy your time in New York. We'll speak from Melrose Arch next week, but have a wonderful, wonderful time there. Thanks for your insight and thanks for giving us so much color this evening. David Shapiro is from Sasfin in Johannesburg, but he's in Manhattan. That podcast was proudly brought to you in association with sharenet.co.za.